So question is, in the Vedas, it is in the creation of God, we say that everything is produced in a hypothetical way. For them, there was no proof of example. So for example, Shatarupa is said to have come from Brahma's beard and Manu came from Brahma's body. But in science, every principle is proven by experiments. Otherwise, it is not followed. Nor are the principles or the problems would have been proposed in science, saying that already we did explain some of the principles experimentally and now trust on ourselves what we are saying. What is your comment on this? Again, this is not science universal methodology. The question is basically, science does experiments for everything, whereas scripture just gives direct explanations. No. Science, as I said, doesn't experiment with everything, especially with origins. Science doesn't experiment. It can't offer any experiments. And even if some experiments are done, they can be done only with what fragmental replications of the ancient, of the primeval conditions. So we can't replicate the full universe. So that's the first point. Now with respect to scripture, scripture offers us two different kinds of knowledge. So there is, if you envision scriptural knowledge as three circles, scriptural knowledge, you can divide into three sectors. In those three sectors, has anyone shown you this PowerPoint of the three divisions of scriptural knowledge? In any of your earlier classes? So in the Vedas, everything is about result, not experiment. And it is said that do not think of anything created by God in this world, only think of Him. Is this not confinement of mind in spite of being engineering student? Answer. Nowhere does the Bhagavad Gita say, don't think about the world, think only about God. It only says, don't think about the world independent of God. It says, don't think about the world as disconnected from God. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, again and again, Krishna helps us see Him in the world. In the 10th chapter is Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti Yoga means, Krishna says, the universal principle that in 10.41 in the Gita, Yad yad vibhuti matsattvam shrimadurjitam evama tatta devavagachattvam mamatejomsh sambhava. Krishna says that, know that all opulent, beautiful and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. So what Krishna is saying here is that when we see anything wonderful in this world, don't think that it is wonderful on its own. Think that it is wonderful based on, because it manifests Krishna's opulence. So a rose is very exquisitely beautiful. How did its beauty come about? It is by Krishna's arrangement. It is a spark of Krishna's beauty manifesting in this world. The science reveals to us a magnificently designed universe with laws of mathematical precision. Now, what do we see by this? As Srinivasa Ramanujan, India's famous mathematician, he said that an equation for me has no meaning unless it represents a thought of God. So again, what is being done is here, we see the star, we see the creation, but we see it in such a way that we connect it with the Creator. So as engineering students, certainly nobody is telling that you should not do engineering studies. But the point is, we use our knowledge of philosophy coming from the Bhagavad Gita to see our subjects in a God-connected way. That means, if we can, with a cell phone, send message immediately in one moment from one part of the world to another, we can get dazzled by science, or we can get attracted towards the supreme scientist. Now, yes, science has dazzling technology in terms of how, by just clicking a few buttons, a message can go immediately over millions of miles, thousands of miles, hundreds of miles, whatever. But the point is, science uses mechanisms that are pre-existing in nature. We may use telecommunications for communicating from here to, I may communicate from Australia to India now, to Pune. But now when we are doing this, the mechanisms for this are only discovered by science. They are not created by science. Where have they originally come from? So even in the wonder of technology, a devotee can see the wonder of God. What I mean by this is, suppose there is a tribal who doesn't know anything about agriculture or horticulture or any kind of systematic growing of plants, vegetables, fruits. And he comes to a fruit farmer who has got an orchard. And then he sees, he observes this fruit farmer. And then when a mango is produced on a tree, he eats the mango and he's amazed and he says, oh my God, this farmer has done a miracle. He has converted mud into mango. Now, has the farmer done that? The farmer, first of all, did not create the mango seed. The farmer did not create the mechanism by which the mango seed would transform into a mango tree and give fruits. What the farmer did was used pre-existing resources and pre-existing mechanisms and just allowed and provided a conducive environment for them to provide a result, produce a result. So pre-existing resource was the mango seed. Pre-existing mechanism is the mechanism within the mango seed to eventually fructify and produce a tree. So now certainly the farmer has done hard work in maintaining the mango orchard, and that for that credit should be given. But it is not that the farmer has produced a mango from nothing. The farmer has tapped pre-existing mechanisms. And similarly, when science, say, offers us instant messaging or instant communication, now this is largely done, first of all, using semiconductor effect in electronic chips. Now the question comes up, science did not make semiconductors. Now, some elements are things are conductors, some are insulators. Why are some kind of semiconductors? So science did not make that. The semiconductor effect, which is fundamentally required for telecommunications, that already existed in nature. That was only tapped by science. Similarly, the mechanism for transmitting electromagnetic waves through the atmosphere, specifically the ionosphere, that mechanism is also not created by science. That mechanism already existed in nature, and science tapped that mechanism. So certainly the level of tapping that is done by science in developing electronics communication or telecommunication, that is much more sophisticated than a farmer's tapping when the farmer raises some trees. So the scientists definitely need to be given credit for the sophistication of their methods of tapping. But still we need to remember that the mechanisms and the resources were not created by science. So even in the magnificence of technology, a devotee, a bhakti yogi, can see the magnificence of God. So it is not that if we become devotees, we don't care for the creation at all and only think about God. No, we think about the creation as connected with the Creator, as manifesting the glory of the Creator. And when we become more informed in the philosophy of Bhakti Yoga, then even in science, we will be able to see the magnificent hand of God. And we'll be able to understand how the whole of science works, not just because of human brilliance, but also because of God's prearrangement. So human science, I'll conclude with this point, human science rests on divine prescience. Prescience means the foresight, the wisdom in advance. So God in advance has created nature as permeated with many different mechanisms. And then science discovers those mechanisms and taps those mechanisms. So we can see the glory of human science, and in the glory of human science, we can see divine prescience. And in that way, prescience means foresight. And in that way, we can dovetail even our engineering study in connection with our bhakti yoga. So it's not that we have to stop thinking about the world and think only about God. We don't think of the world as an independent reality having nothing to do with God, but rather we see the world and its wonderful mechanisms as manifesting the glory of God. Thank you.